Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Last week we went through chapter 4 of James down to verse 7, and it just very briefly, James gives us a reason why we have fightings and wars among us. We have a kingdom that God gave us. It is a place for us in this world that we might have sanctuary. Satan tries to attack. Satan tries to pervert. Satan tries to take your peace. All of this comes through his deception. And it all comes through the lust of our own bodies, which fell in Adam. And he comes down to where he said, but he giveth more grace. And that's an outstanding, overwhelming thought to me, that the God of glory, who became flesh and came to this world to suffer, bleed, and die to save us to his eternal world above, he giveth more grace. My goodness. But then he said in verse 7, and this is where we'll take up again, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourself to God. How do we submit ourselves to God? In worship. In the assembly. Well, why should I join the church? Because it is the place that God has ordained that his people should meet on the Lord's Day, not the Saturday Sabbath, seventh day of the week, but a new beginning, the first day of the week. Because Christ gave us a new beginning. We are to assemble ourselves together on the first day of the week to worship. That's the main point of being here. Yes, we learn of God. Yes, the Spirit of God causes our spirit to cry out, Abba, Father. But the purpose of us here is to worship God in a reverential fear of Almighty God, who is above, beyond all created things. Submit yourself to God and your family. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. See that the wife reverence her husband. Bring thy children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Submit thyself unto thy master. Today that would be employer, since slavery is illegal, thank God. Do all that you do with a mighty hand, with all your might, for your employer, as if you were doing it to your Lord. He pays you. Work for your wages. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, even with government. Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, but don't try to give Caesar what belongs to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God in prayer. Remember, the context of this chapter is how to avoid troubles and wars and fightings that come up among us. We are God's children. We are in the church. Satan seeks to devour. He walketh around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan provokes the heart to anger. Satan provokes the tongue to move. And as we saw in verse 3, the fires of hell are ignited in the nature of man, and trouble comes between brethren. Not going to rehash all of that, but it could be from a minister down to the poor widow. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God in worship, in prayer. Lord, help me, I am unable. Lord, bridle my tongue, I am unable. Lord, give me obedience, I am unable. Lord, I have no righteousness that is imputed to me through thy Son. Please, for his purpose, for his glory, please enable me. Make me a son of Jacob. Make me a disciple. Help me, dear Father. And it begins with the controlling the tongue. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Flee fornication. Turn away from sin. Regarding the tongue, resist the devil. The context is about the tongue. Resist the devil. Bite that tongue. If anger arises in the heart, whether it's brethren and sisters, whether it's husband and wife, it's best to bite that tongue and pray. That is, drawing nigh to God that is resisting the devil. Then he says, cleanse your hand, you sinners. This is not, you better get right with the Lord or you're going to hell, because there will not be a child of God in hell. Let me say that a little plainer. There will not be a good man in hell, because if he's got any goodness in him, God put it there.
Amen.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners. What is he saying? Let's take the Lord Jesus Christ's words. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cleanse your hands. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and men presseth unto it. Cleanse your hands, repent, push into the kingdom. Again, the context is about the tongue. Bridle your tongue. Ye sinners, purify your hearts. Let thine eye be single. Keep it looking to God. Brother Steve was telling us a moment ago about the things of this life that God provides. The Lord Jesus Christ himself told us to keep our eyes single, to seek ye first in your life the kingdom of God. He also says to love God first and foremost. The Bible teaches that, to love your brethren as yourself. So how do we love God? He tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's why you come into the church. That's why you're baptized. That's why you take up your cross daily. To worship God, to seek God. The more we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, this is a work that we must do. It does not give us eternal life. It is here because God gave us eternal life. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and do of his own good pleasure. But because God hath given us life, we strive by God's Spirit to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Satan seeks to devour. You have a kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things of this natural life. God will provide for you. Amen. Cleanse your hand, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let me say this again. The wicked are not double-minded. The wicked have one eye and one mind and one desire, and that is wickedness. A double-minded man is a child of God whom God hath given birth, who seeks to find and press into the kingdom of God, yet Satan afflicts and tempts. Pull away over here. This context is about the tongue. Your brother made you mad. Curse him. Go talk about it. Go run him down. Go mention his name to others. Brother, sister, doesn't matter. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be doers of the word we had in an earlier chapter. The closer we walk in obedience and humbleness to God, seeking God, the easier it is for us to do the things that God gives us to do. The closer we walk with God, he said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto you. The closer we walk with God, the easier it is for us to resist the devil and he'll flee for us. Oh yes, he'll come back, because once the nature of man, once our being is rested and we begin to think about the things of the world again, then Satan comes right back with it. But God is still there. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. He's not talking about cutting ourselves or beating our chest or pulling out our hair. He's not talking about burning ourselves as we see some do. He's not talking about sitting on the ground in dust and ashes and throwing it up in the air. Be afflicted and mourn and weep your sin. Mourn your sin. The Holy Spirit said in Zechariah, and I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. That's being born of the Spirit of God. And they shall see whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn as one that mourneth for an only son. That mourning is when you see the righteousness of God, and the closer we draw to God, the more we see the righteousness of God, the easier it is to bridle the tongue, the easier it is to obey God, the easier it is to draw even closer to God and apart from this world and enjoy the blessings of the Spirit of God and enjoy all the blessings of the kingdom of God and mourn our sin. To turn aside from our sin. Well, I don't like to mourn. Let me tell you, one of the greatest blessings we have in life is to be drawn so close to God that we feel so vile in our nature, because when you see Christ high and lifted up, when you see Him upon the cross, and then you see Him as He ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and you see Him in the glory of the Godhead, for He is the express image of the person of God, you cannot help but to see the worm that Jacob is. You cannot help but to have a reverential view of God, who is far above the heavens and the heaven of the heavens and the earth and the death and sin that is here. Be afflicted. Mourn. Weep over your sin. The natural man cannot do this. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. Only one born of the Spirit of God, only a child of God, that God has given life, that's not your work, that's God's, can do this. But Satan tries to destroy him. What's the importance of the text of James? Why is he so bluntly speaking? That God would be glorified and that God's children could have this kingdom and peace and dwell in it and press into it and have the blessings of the kingdom of God in this life. Be afflicted and mourn and weep over your sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. I can remember times in my life when we would be all sitting around as a child, partying and doing things we should not have been doing. And there was laughter, there was joy in it. And I also remember the old timers that came before me preaching the gospel. Said the Lord will cause you to hate what you once loved and love what you once hated. God puts Himself within you. God gives you birth of His Spirit. God causes you to hate the things of the world. Let the laughter of all that you love, let the laughter of the world, let the laughter of sin be turned to mourning, mourning that sin. Be afflicted, mourn and weep over the sins that caused our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Himself, manifest in the flesh to come into this world to suffer, bleed, and die, to lay His life down. For you whom He loved. You. That's a personal God. God is a God of a people, of mass multitude, as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore that cannot be numbered. But let me tell you, child of God, God is a personal God. He is with you. He will never leave you. The closer we walk with Him, the more we strive to serve Him, the more blessing we have. And how do we do that? Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy of sin to heaviness. I have found this as I've grown old. There were things I used to do that caused me to shudder. There were things I used to condone, maybe laugh at, maybe make jokes about, that now cause my heart to feel darkness. I don't want it around me. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm not telling you because I'm good, because I'm a vile man. I'm telling you because that's what God does. He causes that joy to be heaviness. There's no more joy in the world. There's no more joy in the flesh. The joy to a child of God that's born of the Spirit of God is the view of God. It is the glory of God. It is Jesus Christ, the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory. It is in the brethren. It is in the sisters. It is in the old and the young and the children and the church. And your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. My mind hit the prayer once again of the publican and the Pharisee. The old lifted up Pharisee. I thank Thee, Lord, that I'm not as these other people. And then you see the old tax collector. Hated a tax collector, most of them Jewish, in the city of Jerusalem, collecting taxes from their brethren for the Roman government. They were hated. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Would not even lift up His eyes to heaven, but smote upon His breast. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You want to see humbleness? Look in the 51st Psalm with David. This is a prayer. I acknowledge my transgressions. Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned, that Thou might be just when Thou judgest. God, I am a sinner. Help me. Help me. I cannot do it without You. I cannot do it alone. I cannot serve Thee. I cannot love Thee. I cannot love my wife and my children and my grandchildren and my family without Thee, Lord. I don't know how. I'm not capable. Help me, Lord. I can do nothing of mine own but die. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And He, that being God, that being Christ, shall lift you up. That old publican who wouldn't even raise his head as he prayed was justified. That doesn't mean he was justified in eternal glory. He was justified in eternal glory by the blood of the Lamb of God, because Christ offered Himself to God for the sins of His people, those the Father gave Him. And that blood was not shed in vain. Each and every one hath life. He that cometh to Me, I shall in no wise cast out. Well, you see, He says, he that cometh to Me will read the whole text. No man cometh unto Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him. God's children. But He was justified, as James was teaching us a couple of chapters ago. Show me Thy works by Thy faith. Manifesting that faith in God, that God, whom we have not seen, is holy, most holy, most righteous, cannot look upon sin. It would be consumed. But He lowered the glory of the Godhead aside and came to this world in the body of Jesus Christ. Without sin, was hanged upon the cross, His body becoming sin for us, that He may pay our sin debt. Manifesting Thy faith by Thy works. Praying to God, humbling yourself before God, and He shall lift you up. Brother Steve mentioned Job. Job sat upon the ground in dust and ashes. That is showing us that he was trying to humble himself before God. And if you want to sit on the ground in dust and ashes, that's fine with me. I'll come sit with you. But it's not necessary. That's why the old prophet said, rend your heart, not your garments. Make the heart right with God. You cannot make your heart right with God. God has to take away the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's in Ezekiel 37. But when He does, you're enabled of God to humble yourself before God, to walk with God, to love God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. This is the same context, the tongue. The tongue. Speak not evil one of another. It is so easy to become angry and say something. We all have people that we talk to I talk to my wife. I say things to her, and I say things to my two sons that I would not dare say to other people. I pray to God that when I do that, I'm not doing that to justify myself. And to truth be known, I should not even say the things that I have in mind to anybody. What I should do is bridle my tongue and be quiet. If we're going to speak of one that's having trouble, we ought to be speaking in prayer for that person and for us. But it says, speak not evil one of another. You see the president? Everybody wants to talk evil about him. One side wants to run him down. Well, it's the same way the last one. The other side wanted to run him down. That's the world. That's flesh. That's mankind, humanity, and its depravity. James is not speaking of the world or the nation. He's not telling us to condone sin. He's not telling us that we're supposed to accept homosexuality because they're people too. Let me say this up front. My sins are just as bad or worse than a homosexual sins, okay? We're all sinners before God, and I'll guarantee you God's got people that are suffering the bondage of homosexuality. The thing to do is pray for them, go to them, work with them, love them, try to support them, and help them through this. Just like my other brethren have me on things I've had to deal with in my life, as we should with each other. Speak not evil one of another. Then he puts a comma, brethren. He's talking to the church of God. He's not telling us not to reprove and not to rebuke sin, as Paul told Timothy. The scripture does not contradict itself. He's talking about brethren. When you stand here and you teach God's children the word of God, I pray to God we rightly divide the word of truth. We are not to be a part of the sinful things of the world. We're not to accept it. We're not to condone it. But he's not talking about the world. He's not talking about the things of the world. He's talking to the brethren. Speak not evil one of another. That is that tongue. It is the nature of man. We cannot control the tongue. We have no, he said the verse 8 of chapter 3, but the tongue can no man tame but God. But God who giveth more grace. Walking with God. Being humble before God. God gives away. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, you ever done something to somebody that hurt their feelings and they turned around and loved you? My goodness, does that not melt you to the core? Does the love of God just not melt your heart? Christ's heart melted. Oh yes, in the Psalms, my heart melted. I tell you, I believe Christ died of a broken heart as much as he did everything else. Love conquers all. Love covers a multitude of sin. Loving each other, the love of God covered our sin. We are God's children, brethren. Love one another as I have loved you. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. This is not condemnation. This is exhorting us to live in a way that will enjoy the blessing of the kingdom, give reverential fear to God, give reverence to the Almighty God of heaven, and to live and have peace and joy in the kingdom of God, the place that God hath appointed unto us in this world while we walk in the presence of such wickedness and evil. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Oh, goodness, got to move. He that speaketh evil his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. I can't judge the law. You can't judge the law. We're not able. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge, assuming yourself to be one. There is one lawgiver. Let me tell you this. God is the lawgiver. And Christ is the testimony of God. when they put those tablets of stone that God gave to Moses that he wrote with his own finger into the Ark of the Covenant that teaches us of Christ, of God writing his law upon your inward parts, and that is Christ. But he says there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Deuteronomy 32, about verse 39, this won't be verbatim, very probably, but the Lord said, I am God, there is none else, there is none beside me. I am the creator of heaven and earth, I am the Almighty, I am the most powerful, without beginning, without end. I am God. And then he says, I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Now, who art thou? The questions pose that judges another. We're told how to judge. Go to your brother, Matthew 18, when you have conflict. Doesn't say go one time. It says go to your brother. Go over, go over, go over. Go twice, go five times. Go every day if you have to. Strive with all of God's grace to make it right with your brother. It is that important to God, so it ought to be that important to us. And if that doesn't work, take two or three of the church to bear witness, and then take it to the church and submit yourself to God. That means submit yourself to the decision and the judgment of the church, but let those who are least esteemed in the church, least esteemed, judge the matter. Go to now. He gives an example, and I'll close with this example. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gone. Get gained. Well, myself and Brother Steve, we're going to get together and go down here. We're going to go down to Chillisburg and we're going to plant us a garden and we're going to put us up a little building with a roof over it. Don't need any sides. It won't cost as much money that way. We're going to grow tomatoes and we're going to grow watermelons and we're going to grow corn and we're going to go down there and we're going to, when it comes time to harvest, we're going to sell it and we're going to make profit and we're going to get gain. Do you see the problem with that? Myself, I am making decisions. I am leaning upon my ability, my knowledge, my hand, my work. Listen, this is an example. It's regarding the tongue. And then he says in verse 14, concerning this example, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Look at the name Abel. It means mist, vapor, gone, just a short while. How is our life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. Some die in the womb, some die at 100 years old. But in all that we have, in all the years of our life, even of those that were closer to the time before sin had shortened our lives as it has today, before the canopy around the earth was destroyed and God flooded the world, even the long time that Methuselah lived, just a moment, and the whole time that this world is in existence. And that is not even a blink of the eye in the realm of the eternal God. We're here just a minute. As Steve told us, worship God, reverence God who loves us and cares for us. Then we enjoy that blessing. Then we enjoy that worship. But he says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, going back to verse 13, we'll go down there and make some money. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. If the Lord is willing, Brother Steve and I are going to go down to Chillisburg and sell produce. If the Lord is willing, if the Lord gives us the ability to work, if the Lord gives us the ability to plant, if the Lord gives the rain that causes the things to grow, if the Lord gives the sunshine that causes it to be ripened, If the Lord blesses us to be able to go there and find a place, and so that everything depends upon God, so therefore we ought to seek the judgment from God. Seek the will of God. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. You see the difference in all this? I'm going down to Chillisburg. Or if it's the Lord's will, we'll go down to Chillisburg. Turning from my will to depending on God's will and to be led of God to do or not do. Even in preaching, they desired to go somewhere, but the Spirit forbade them. Now let's lay this example to the context of the tongue. But now you rejoice in your boastings. I'm going down there and I'm going to straighten that brother out. I'm going over there and fix that church. I'm going to go tell them what I think about what they did or what so-and-so said or what so-and-so preached. I heard a man tell me one time, I'm not going to call any names and I'm not even going to give an indication. But we were talking about a church that 25 years ago had some problem. They resolved it. Well, apparently they didn't resolve it to this brother's agreeing. He said, if they'd call me to that church, I'd straighten that out. Why in the world would we want to bring something up 25 years ago that's been at peace for 25 years? Why in the world would we want to hurt the church? Why would we want to bring up and spread discord among brethren when it is at peace? Let it go. It's water under the bridge. Bridle the tongue. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Go back to submit yourselves to God. Pray, pray, pray. If you've got a problem, go to your brother, yes, but pray before, pray during, pray after. If something's wrong somewhere, pray about it, pray for it. It's not necessary for me to go down there. I'm not the Savior. I'm not able to help. If I'm asked, it's a different situation, but I need to mind my business because I can't keep myself straight, much less fix somebody else. And I'm told to remove the beam from my eye before I remove the splinter in my brother's. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, I've used this before to make examples. If we see somebody hungry, it's a sin not to help them. He's talking about brethren. If we see somebody in trouble, it's a sin not to help them. Talking about brethren. But what he's talking about here is bridling the tongue. Bridling the tongue. James is teaching us by God's divine spirit, how to have peace in the church, how to love each other in the church, how to enjoy the blessings in the church. This is the best thing we have. We do not deserve it. It is the best that we'll ever have in this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.